Recorded live at Nightmare Studios in Houston, Texas, you're listening to the Genghis and Ragman Show, where two jamokes drink and rate craft beer while they chew the fat about the world of hard rock and heavy metal, followed up by one-on-one interviews with veterans and newcomers in the industry. I'm your official announcer, Joey Clams, and here to introduce themselves is tonight's special guest.
Hello, this is Marius from Nitrates, and I give you the right to rock.
Without further ado, here are two co-hosts who are so metal they brush their teeth with steel wool. It's Genghis and Ragman.
Our show, there's nonsense going on.
It's like weird science. You're like, quit being such pricks. It's like,
oh, shit.
Dude, you fuck everything up.
Easy will fuck it all
up. How about a hot, greasy sausage sandwich in a pork?
Already
just
fucked it up.
Stop it. Stop it, please. Can you do your duty, sir?
And hit
the
menu.
Is he crying?
I think he's trying to suck it up.
talking.
He's I can do this.
Well, he hit the pause button, didn't give us a response, so. Yeah.
He says, I can be
Look the Look at day this, Vakken. But a long time ago, 2012.
Long time.
Oh, look at this. We got the Saxon over here.
Mr. Beeford.
I love this Saxon. Loves this Saxon. Dude, they're going on their 40th anniversary tour over there. And they don't look to be slowing down.
Well, no, I don't think so. As far as a sort of a allusion to our topic, a little foreshadowing is they're a band who I think would go past the that mark and sort of keep going.
Yeah.
Until they kind of got... this is the deal. They're these kind of bands that are like, they may be around for decades. And some of them, it's like the fans sort of keep them going, right? It's like, you put out more albums. Others, their bands are like, oh, we're going to do this and you can come along for the fucking ride or not. We don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way I think Saxon is. Saxon's like, we're going to keep making fucking albums and keep rocking. If nobody buys them, who gives a shit?
Right.
We're just going to keep doing it because that's what we do.
But the thing is the older they get, they put out some pretty solid product.
No shit, dude. When I saw them with you, we saw them with...
Open Up for UFO.
Yeah, they were fucking incredible, dude.
They were. And then they play Open for Priest.
Yep.
Which was awesome
That's
as well.
That's what I saw them was for Priest, and they were fucking amazing.
You saw them with UFO, too, didn't you?
No, I missed them, dude.
Oh, yeah, you wussed out, didn't you?
No, I got called away to something more important.
I had a family emergency, right?
this guy.
Fucking Johnny Sunglasses out there.
No shit, he looks like a fucking reporter.
No shit. But would you put Saxon in the same category as Motorhead? Not musically, but just their iconic status.
They are fairly iconic.
It's pretty cool. So you see a guy with a Motorhead shirt, you're like, fuck yeah. If you can see a guy with a Saxon shirt, you're like, fuck yeah. Right?
Yeah, you get I think what so. I'm saying? I don't know if they're still... The way I always remember them is they always had... I kind of get them confused with like Uriah Heep and those old bands where... Or who am I thinking of? Or Molly Hatchet, where you'd have like an old like Frank Frazetta, Conan the Barbarian style painting and then this really sweet-ass logo above it that looked sort of medieval. And it'd be like, Saxon. You'd be like... Fuck yeah, dude. Yeah. Even when I was a kid, I was like, that looks cool as fuck. I don't even know what it is. I thought it was cool. And that's the way they are. Their stuff is. Now, it may be in the last...
They're a much bigger band than those others you mentioned.
True, because they're more like hard rock or whatever. But my point is, maybe for all I know, in the last 10 or 20 years, they've gotten more modern with their covers. I mean, maybe they're... Album covers look more.
Thunderbolt had the eagle on it.
Yeah, maybe they're a little less like that old style.
The Crusader, had the knights and all that shit.
Yeah,
going
see,
on.
I like that shit. If they're still doing that, then I'm all about it.
Well, I think you have the shirt, or I know I have a shirt where they have an American flag and a British flag. The Crusader guy.
Oh.
And the little knights.
No, it's kind of like Maiden will do. They'll do that shit too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm down with that. If they still have that old school kind of thing going, then I'm all about it.
Well, if you look at the banner behind them whenever they show it, it's got the guy who's got the English flag there.
Yeah.
Surprised there's not a German flag, Holmes.
That's part of what makes them so awesome is that they got that sweet logo that you just can't never get rid of that logo, you know? Because some bands have done that.
Yeah.
And maybe that'll be a nice future topic, too, is bands that have changed their logo
over time
or their kind of look significantly.
Sure.
Because a lot of bands are like, we'll keep it forever. But there's other bands, like I was looking at Rush albums. And Rush kind of has that general sort of, there's that original big, thick, funky 70s looking logo. But if you look at a lot of their album covers, it's just like Rush with just like, that's like Arial font or something. It doesn't even look particularly interesting. And I'm like, that's interesting. They don't have a set sort of logo that they've never gotten rid of. They're willing to change it up and not worry about it. And I think that's interesting, but I guess that's because they're like, dude, our fucking we're such a fucking iconic killer band that we don't need the fucking logo to carry us. It's our music that makes us awesome.
Right.
So I guess they can get away with that shit. But, you know, you don't know. Like, look, so I'm looking now, like, there's that the one, the self-titled album Rush, where it looks like it's exploding like a comic book. And then they've got, like, Moving Pictures and Permanent Waves. I'm looking at Permanent Waves now. It's just Rush. It's just the name Rush.
Yeah.
It's not a logo.
Yeah.
And then Rush on 2112. It's just, again, it looks like
Roll
a typewriter font. It
looks different, too.
Yeah. And so, and then the name of Rush on Moving Pictures. It's just a regular font. There's no stylization to it at all. And like I said, a big band can get away with that shit. fly-by-night. It's just the word Rush. There's no logo deal at all on it. So, but then you've got somebody like Saxon, and they've got that cool-ass logo that they've never changed in like 40, 50 years.
Right.
And I think that's pretty cool. I like that.
Well, I tell you what, let's... I love being a huge Saxon fan for a lot of years.
I know, dude. You're all about
tell you what, let's play a song. Why don't we do something off the last record, Thunderbolt? How about we go with The Secret of Flight? That's a good, really good tune off that last record. Let's do it. I think his name's Nigel or Glocker, the drummer. He's wearing a Bucky shirt at Vakken.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. So in Texas, guys, we've got this like it's like a little chain, and they're usually affiliated with like Shell stations, but it's like Bucky's, and I think I've seen them in other states, but it's not Bucky's. It's like something else.
Okay.
So it's like this beaver, and it's this gas station. And everybody figures I gotta fucking stop there because it's a fucking beaver. And they got the beaver nuggets, just like popcorn or whatever.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Bucky's is great, dude. I like Bucky's.
Actually, the barbecue, they got barbecue there. It's pretty fucking good, too.
They don't fuck around. So, and they've got the best bathrooms in the country.
Yeah, it's clean.
They're kind of famous for their bathrooms.
You can go in there and take a shit and not, like, wonder if there's going to be something crawling up your ass.
Exactly. If I'm going to get hepatitis from just going to the bathroom. Exactly.
Oh, dude. And then they even have the, like, little sterilizer. If you're going to sit down, why don't you use this?
Yeah. They don't fuck around, and I love it. That's,
oh, yeah.
That's, they're a
it's
great
place.
It's
the only place I'll take a shit on the road.
Yep, I'm hit.
So.
Drive like 5 hours just so you can take a shit.
Do shit. Dude, I have. That or Chick-fil-A's. Chick-fil-A's are clean, too.
That's because we're good.
This could be a whole show about shitting on the road.
No shit.
That's our topic tonight, right, babe?
That's right. What's the best place you've ever taken a shit?
You see it? The little peace, love, beavers
I've
or whatever.
I got that shirt, yeah.
That's funny. And they're in fucking Vakken, Germany.
So, like, they don't know anything about fucking Bucky's. They'll be like, what's that about then, mate? What's with the beaver?
He's like, I thought you were German. He's like, I don't care. We're all English, mate.
I thought it was a muskrat. He's like, no, it's a beaver,
you
mate.
See it?
It's like, what's a beaver? He's like...
That's hilarious.
It's like, it's sort of like a penguin without a job.
No,
it's like, what are you even fucking talking about?
It would
about,
be badass if he was wearing a right rock shirt if it was said horns up on the back.
Exactly.
Fuck yeah.
Then we'd know that these dudes have their shit together.
Yeah. So, without further ado, Mr. G, will you roll us into this fucking badass-looking beer we're going to have? But we have been burnt by this brewery before.
Yes.
So, hopefully, that said, we're not going to get burnt.
Well, does that mean that we do the old, like, go into a song, and then after that go into the beer?
You can do another song. Let's do it. What do you want to do?
I don't know.
We're scared. So, guys, we are physically scared about this beer. You just got Tracy G playing you the beer song, but we're not talking about beer yet because we're nervous.
Yeah. Do you think maybe then we should just jump into that beer? Just like go head on?
We've been burnt before.
We hear the show!
Well, let's see what we got. I mean, this is the brewery. We've talked about them.
Well, hold on.
No?
We're going to play a song.
Oh, so we are doing the song.
We are a song.
All right.
This is an album that came out, I want to say, about 2 years ago. A band called Savage Messiah. Hands and Face the record. And dude, every time this comes on my iPod, I mean, I might have had this for a couple of years. And actually, after I listen to stuff, sometimes if it just doesn't float the boat, I just get rid of it off the iPod. But this one, forget about it. It's good stuff. They got good record here, man. So
good look.
How about we go with... I'm going to go with Wing and a Prayer, because this beer could be a wing and a prayer. You want to do that?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Again, if I may get back to this. This is the brewery. It's they're a brewery out of Orange County, California. It's one of the, even though you go to California like once or twice a year, you always manage to fuck up getting us in a good beer.
Motherfucker.
I'll let you quit jerking off over there.
I'll show up. Fuck me. So I'm not coming off my... Go ahead, do your thing.
You're all done?
I'm going to shut up.
Sure. I believe you.
Fuck me.
What, did you break it?
It finally came off.
So anyway, this is a brewery that's out of California, Orange County, California. It's right there where Ragman, when he visits California a couple times a year, goes to see Tracy G, among other things. He always manages to fuck up and not get us any beer. Even what? Though that's the best place to grab, like, the Black Tuesday. It's the, one of the white whales. And he manages to fuck us good and clean every single year. Sometimes multiple times. But this... The trouble is, they didn't used to put anything out. Now all of a sudden we can find their beers, but it's like they're sort of lower tier beers. It's not the really good stuff. So naturally it's something that Ragman picked up on. And... this one is called the Mash and Coconut. So he's got a hard-on for this. I don't even know why, because it's not like coconut makes excellent beer. But he's really excited about it, so we're going to indulge him as usual.
Dude, coconut in a brown fucking bourbon barrel-aged beer? Forget about it.
I don't know, dude. We'll see. If it tastes like a fucking like Almond Joy, then I'll be all over it. But here we go. Let's just read the description, and we'll see what you think. This is our classic bourbon barrel-aged barley wine ale. So we already
son
got
of
fucked.
A bitch.
Mash
strike one
stretching to two levels. Mash and coconut has coconut added nearly 1 pound per gallon. Damn, that's a lot of coconut, which ratchets up the complex coconut character and hides the fact that this is shitty barley wine ale. No, that didn't say that. And complements the oaky vanilla notes that are imparted to the beer as part of its extensive maturation in bourbon barrels. I just wanted to say maturation because it sounds cool. But no, anyway, seriously, I mean, they say that this sucker is 13.1% ABV.
Fuck
damn.
Me.
It's got a Beer Advocate rating of 92, so it's not bad.
Yeah, that's possible.
So let's give it a shot. Other of their bourbon barrel aged beers are like the Black Tuesday, the legendary Black Tuesday, the Chocolate Rain, and a couple other beers. I mean, it seems like it's in good company. As far as the bottle is the usual. They all kind of have the same sort of general label, except you know for the actual name of the beer and like the logos up there, and they kind of the colors are always very complementary to whatever the scheme they're going with. In this case, it's kind of a brownish greenish, you know, pleasant looking design. But let's go with the it's got a nice little kind of sudsy lacing on it.
Mine's got no lacing whatsoever.
Oh, interesting. I mean, I'd give that a 3.5.
Yeah, 3.5.
Three and a half.
I mean, for a brown ale, it's It's a nice looking brown ale.
Yeah, let's go with the aroma. Aroma, yeah.
Oh, holy wow.
Shit. It's coconut it smell bourbon.
Like, yeah, it does kind of smell like a fucking almond joy or something. Let's, I'd give that a 4.
Yeah,
let's,
yeah.
Let's do this clink. Cheers. Let's do this. See what the deal is with this thing.
Fuck yes. That's
not bad.
That is good.
That is
probably the best brewery beer we've had. Except for the Maids of Milken or whatever it was.
Right, the Christmas beer we got that one year. Now this one.
Oh, wow, that's good.
This one you can taste. It is strong, but what's nice is it's balanced. It's really well balanced. So you are tasting alcohol, but you're also tasting a nice chocolatey, coconutty kind of feel.
I think the coconut takes a little bit of the edge off.
Mm-hmm.
That is tasty, man.
That is nice. You're right. That is
that's
actually a pretty good beer.
I'm happy because mm-hmm. I was worried. We're always worried by things.
That's the thing. That's the brewery, thing.
But
that's the thing. We know the brewery's good, and if you get the brewery, I have a feeling their best beers are the ones that are just only available locally
in California.
And that's why we're disappointed in you every time you go because we know that's where the good shit is. But you never bring any back. I
brought something back from there once.
Did you?
A long time ago. Yeah.
Back before you decided. Oh, I brought the show.
I think I brought glasses back and they broke.
That's good because we were going to drink glasses.
We had to drink out of the glass, Holmes. That makes it taste better.
I had to bust balls, Holmes. No, so, I mean, this is a good one. I mean, how would you go? The mouth feel?
It's watery. Very watery.
A little watery. And
but it's a brown ale, too, so you're not thinking anything too rich,
I mean, this
right?
says it's a barley one.
Oh, really?
That's what I'm saying. This is a barley
one. I thought it said brown ale on the label. No?
I mean, unless they change the formula. That's what the description says on the website. Let me read the bottle. Since... we know how good you can read. Let's see. Let's see what we find here. This says Imperial Brown Ale, aged in bourbon barrels with toasted coconut added.
Excuse me. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You got a cock in your mouth. Let's see.
Excuse me.
Yeah, you're right. I'm reading the. See, this is what it said on the website, but then I'm reading the one here on. That's interesting. They must have changed the formula. Because here on the bottle, it says in the 2017 edition, the one I'm reading is a 2016. That's weird that they changed it that much of one year.
I kind
of
know what I'm talking about.
It says, this rendition of our classic bourbon barrel-aged Imperial Brown Ales amplifies the coconut character natively derived from extensive bourbon barrel aging. Whoa, shit. Then that's a that's
look
a
at me. I know what I'm talking about for once.
You throw enough shit at the wall, something's going to stick. No, but seriously,
it
though.
It finally
I mean,
did.
No, but seriously, though, I mean, that's a change for the better. Because, like I said, that recipe wasn't sounding so great.
No.
And I'm
so
wondering,
it's not a barley wine. It's an Imperial
yeah,
brand.
I guess they must change it every year. Yeah. Kind of like in the way they do with the St. Arnold's.
Sure.
Where the Icon beer isn't necessarily always the same
and
kind of beer every
I'm
time.
I'm seeing more breweries that are like, they'll have a release and then they'll fuck around with it each year. You know?
Oh, okay. I'm down with that. I kind of like that idea.
You're looking for something over there.
I'm
looking
to see
what
the ABV on this one is. Because, like I said, on the site, the sort of general thing is they say it's
13.7,
13.1, but this one,
oh,
this one's the 2017 version. It doesn't say. I hate when it doesn't say. No, there it is. It is. Yeah, 13%, and even 13. So they're keeping that number up there. Damn. And well, like I say, you
bourbon.
Can kind of taste it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you kind of taste it. But it's not bad. I'm not complaining. This is a really tasty beer, man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad this thing worked out.
You and me both. I fucking paid for that shit.
So, anyway.
Did you see Nibs, Holmes?
I saw him, Holmes. Cocoa Nibs.
Fucking Nibs.
What's
his name? Dude, would you be made fun of a lot if your name was Nibs?
I think that's kind of obvious.
My name's Nibs, right? Or maybe it's a common English name.
Well, did you say Nobs? No, I said Nibs, mate.
Coco Nibs.
There's a fucking luchador down there from Mexico, Holmes.
No shit.
It's the chocolate sombrero guy, Holmes.
No shit. Fucking some wrestler up the front row. I'll wrestle you, mate.
Let's do it, mate. He's ready for he's itching for a fight, Holmes. And you know this is Germany because they had the chick up there. You know, they were scooting around on the whole crowd surfing. Not the thinnest chick I've ever seen.
No.
She's a good German chick, Holmes. She's got good breeding stock. Bruce, or Biff. We'll just call him the Biff.
He's still got it, Holmes?
Oh, he does. Luckily, Holmes is still on
He's got the pipes, dude. Yeah, for sure.
And a super, super nice guy, too.
Oh, yeah.
I've interviewed him a few times. Actually, the time I met him live or in person, he's super nice. He's like, what do you want to do this, mate? And I was like, well, how about that back there in the back of the club to, you know, get away from the sound? He gave me all the time I wanted. He's like, all right, mate, I've got to eat. You hungry? You want anything to eat? I was like, no, I appreciate it, man. And I think
you should have said fucking right, because you know he's cooking sausages in the trailer, Holmes.
That was a fucking
bangers and mash, Holmes. The
fucking Hellstar decided to play their fucking anniversary set for like 2 hours, and you missed it. You're like, I gotta go,
homeboy. Fucking,
you were sick that night.
I was gonna say, remember, I had a fucking raging fever at the time, actually. But
it did. We met the band.
But I did remember seeing him. I mean, I saw him for a good half of the set.
Oh, did you?
Hellstar. Yeah, yeah. Because I remember how he was strutting around. You were like, this motherfucker.
I thought you held off. All right.
I had to leave before Saxton came.
Oh, that's what I meant. That's what it was. That's what I meant. Yeah,
I saw the opening band. We saw that cool prog band.
I'm trying to remember their name.
And then after them, I think, was Hellstar.
They were really good. The Canadians.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Hellstar. I saw like a good half the set. Because I remember looking at little ass dude fucking strutting around, dude. Holmes was really like, I'm not getting off the stage, yeah, man. Because I'm having too much fun. Opening for fucking Saxon.
Borealis, was it?
No. Oh, it might have been. I have to look him up.
Canadian band.
Because, we always wondered if they were going to sort of blow. They seemed like they could have just blown up. Because they were really good, I thought.
Oh, they were excellent. We talked to them, and we're going to interview them. It was funny. Genghis and I were talking about, you know, we've been doing this for a lot of years now, and kind of remembering some of the guys we've interviewed. It's been a long time. Unless you interview a guy, you know, a couple times, you're like, wow, did I interview that dude before? What happened? So,
right, yeah, Borealis, the Canadian power progressive metal band from Orangeville, Ontario. Come from the land of oranges.
So anyway, I guess we'll jump into another tune.
Yep.
And then we're going to jump into a topic to entertain you bastards.
You fucks.
You got anything in mind?
No.
How about some Rush? Classic Rush.
Fuck yeah, that sounds good.
How about something off Roll of Bones?
There you go.
Shit, man. Should we go with something? How about something off of, I'm going to do an audible at the line. How about something off Power Windows?
All right.
That's actually a pretty good record if you listen to it today.
I think most of their albums are good. Even the ones that are just weaker, it's like they've got their place.
Even Snake and Arrows?
No. That never happened. you must be confusing that with something else.
How about The Grand Design?
Nice.
I like that song. It's really cool. Let's do it.
He's just going on and
fucking throwing in a wild card over there.
Seriously, I mean, that for an album that's like, what, 30-something years old, nearly 40 years old, it's not
bad.
You
know what's funny? Back in the day, when Grace Under Pressure came out and Power Windows, I'm like, fuck that. That's not Rush. That's not my,
what's going on?
Farewell to Kings.
Oh, yeah.
Moving Pictures Rush. This is something else.
The classic shit.
Yeah. And now you listen to it, it's like, God, there was some good shit back then. Even, it was very synthy, right?
Oh, yeah. But they definitely had a real synthy period. Hold Your Fire probably being the worst. I mean, they had hardcore synth. I mean, I still like those albums. I'm not, but it was a totally different sound. And that's one that's cool. This one, Rush is one of those bands where they've changed their sound kind of significantly two or three times, and they've survived each time. So they didn't just make such a complete and total fuck up that people are like, oh yeah, we're done.
But you know what's weird for, I guess, for you and I alike? I guess after Test for Echo, I don't think we really cared for anything they produced after that, new material wise. Did we?
No, I don't think so.
Counterparts we loved.
Yeah.
Test for Echo was awesome.
I think that was their turn where there sort of seemed like a bit of a return to form.
Yeah. And then
really
after that, it's just like, oh, we're going to go really raw, like first album raw. We're like, okay. Yeah. So for me, probably Counterparts was the last really heavy Rush record. Test for Echo was...
I mean, they kind of went back to their thing. I was like, all right, we're done with our kind of acoustic-y sort of top 40 kind of sound. And we're done with our synthesizer shit. So let's kind of get back to making those cool, kind of really nice, aggressive-y, rocky songs, but still with a modern sensibility. I mean, they kept that. They you know, everything they've done before, they kept elements of it. And so I really thought they did a good job. I really liked Counterparts, and I really liked that sound going forward. Like, I thought, oh, shit, what was the name of the one that had dog ears? Was it Test for Echo? Yeah.
I think it was Test for Echo.
That was a great fucking album.
That was right after Counterparts.
It's got a lot of great songs.
And then after that, I think everything that they put out after that, I wasn't a big fan of.
Ah, okay. Fair enough.
Seeing them live, though, forget about it. I go see them live all the time.
Oh, for sure.
Well, like I told you a couple shows back, you know, watching Rush 40, you really hear where Getty's struggling to sing.
Yeah.
And it's like, do we go a lower octave here?
Right.
Should he push it like he was pushing it? Or
and that's why I think I read recently that he said he was interviewed somewhere and they said, so what are you going to do now? Maybe a solo album? And he said something basically on the lines of, could be. He's like, it's not out of the question, dude. And I'm like, yeah, that's perfect opportunity to write some new shit. But go a lower register, you know, so you can go forward with this new sort of voice of yours. And that way you don't lose anything.
And I'm not knocking it because, I mean, the guy's like in his 60s. So, yeah, you're going to lose something over time.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's rare that someone doesn't,
You know, we talked about this. And this is going to bleed into our topic tonight is, you know, what is that magic number for a band to shut it down? And, you know, we were kind of talking tonight, you know, Rush had 40 years. So you had R40. And if you go back and look at that video, if you have it or look on YouTube or what have you, and I mean, like I said, I mentioned this a few shows back, that to me, I mean, the band sounded great, but Getty was really struggling. And, you know, I hear people on the radio, certain people, saying, oh, you know, Getty sounds great. It's the best he's sounded in years. And I'm like, you know what? Go back and watch that video. And I appreciate it. It's raw and live and stuff like that. It's not doctor up.
Oh, God.
What the fuck, dude? What do you want now?
You want to talk about the big news?
We discussed that a few shows back.
If you're not tickling your balls over there, buddy, if you can just spit it out.
That was a Rush song if you didn't know better.
We know just as much as you do, yeah, tough guy.
Shit.
I think we've proven that.
I'm just saying that on my show, I interviewed Kenny Lee. Have you?
No, we hadn't even tried.
I don't have to try. They all come to me because I'm a rock genius.
Rock genius. I think it's penis is what you thought you were hearing genius in your head.
If you listen, then I'm sure you do because you bring up all my topics. I'm Eddie Trump on Trump Nation, on Hair Nation, that turns into Trump Nation.
Uh-huh.
What are you, a fucking robot now? What's wrong with you?
Hey, what are you going to transform and roll out? I wish you fucking would.
Fuck it. Truckatron.
Oh, shit.
I like it. That's going to be my next show. Truckatron Nation.
Try to give him some fucking balls over there.
No shit. Enjoy yourself as long as you're not doing it here.
No shit. So, well, what is your fucking point?
I'm just saying, I just think it's hilarious that you guys listen to me and regurgitate what I do. This is Eddie Trump from Trump Nation on Volume and Hair Nation.
John, hit the fucking button.
Oh shit. Golly.
Hey, dude. And we're going to go into 30 minutes of all the fucking shows he's on.
No shit.
And it's like two.
We're clearly going to have to upgrade security.
And he's going to do his like tour appearances and all that bullshit. Still never understand why people pay that jack off God knows what to fucking intro a show for 2 seconds.
Well, they clearly haven't learned yet.
That's and then walk around like a douche taking pictures.
Hey, I don't know what to tell you. This is why I just try to stay out of that aspect of the business. I mean, yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
I don't know why more people aren't trying to run him down or something.
Oh, I don't know. But his fans are like fucking morons. Is Queensryche still together?
He's an idiot.
Oh my God, I can't believe.
This fucking guy. Look, just.
He's like, I can't believe that. You would ask that, have you ever heard of Google?
God. I like how he tries to like
be happy someone's calling your fucking shitty show.
Yep.
I mean, I gotta say, I listened to him for a lot of years, but he got to the point where now I can't. I don't even listen anymore. It's just so annoying because half his show is, I'm going to be here, I'm going to be there, I'm on this radio station. How do you not know that I'm on Volume 5 days a week? How do you not know I'm on Hair Nation once a week? Oh, yeah, and Catch My Access show. I mean, that goes on for every hour he's on, that's 30 minutes of the talk. Him promoting shit.
Right, no shit. Running more of his mouth about his own personal shit than anything we actually want to talk about.
So, anyway, we'll get off that subject and get on to a new subject. Even more positive. So, you know, when has a band stayed too long at the table? And we've kind of discussed this in the past on, you know, which bands we kind of thought had been too long at the party. But
right,
Genghis had a kind of an interesting thought that, you know, should there be a number limit on how long a band can go out there and do it? When should they shut it down? When should they do the Jerry Seinfeld? When should they do the Michael Jordan of saying, okay, I'm at the top of my game.
Uh-huh.
I'm getting older, but you know what? I better shut it down before I start embarrassing myself. What's that magic number, Genghis?
Well, that's what I was talking to you about earlier, is that it seems to sort of level out around 40, I think. In that, by then, you've had plenty of time to put out a nice big catalog of albums.
Yep.
You've had plenty of time to do world tours or even any number of smaller tours and gain untold number of fans around the world, because most of these bands have toured around the world at least once in their time. So you've had all this time in the world to build up a good, fresh following. And as we were talking on a previous show, to me, the real mark of a band that's classic or timeless or whatever is that their songs, their catalog, stand the test of time. And what that mostly means is, I mean, you can say that about any band, and there's no set time, but you generally have to say, all right, cool, here is the band, here are their albums, here's their sort of popularity, whether you want it on a record sales or concert sales or whatever.
Yeah.
And you go over time and see, all right, here it is, say 40 years later, and this band is still fucking selling out shows or still, you know, drawing big crowds. That's enough. That's all we need right there. We don't even need anyone's opinion. We can just sort of objectively sort of judge, you know, how well that one component.
Well, you know, how well is this band still performing at 40
right,
years?
Right. Give you a reliable metric that you can compare with other bands.
So let's talk about Rush, since we just talked about them.
All right.
Your thoughts on the last tour, do you think they had more in them? Or were you kind of glad to say, you know what? This was good.
Right.
Not great.
Uh-huh.
But I'm glad, you know, farewell. Love you guys. You gave us a lot of great music. Gave me a lot of fun times. I've got your music still. But being the last tour, I'm satisfied. Thank you. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Take care.
And then, yeah, that way you go out on a good note. Everybody remembers you, having
right,
pleasant ideas in their head about you. Instead of, like, the guest that's overstayed its welcome.
Sure.
Because so, then it just starts to look cynically like a big cash grab. It's like, we're just here to squeeze more money out of you people based on the band that we were 20 years ago that mm-hmm, we're not even close to anymore, but we know we can still get money out of you for it. You know, you're still willing to hork over $100 a ticket to come see us do whatever the hell it right, is we do.
So what do you think? Was Rush at that point for you, or were you like, fuck?
I think kind of was, because as much as Clockwork Angels was enjoyable, I was like, I'm not particularly blown away. I didn't feel like, oh, shit, more of this, please. I just, you know, that's all I needed out of these guys. There's plenty. There's a good old catalog of all these classic things that I appreciate from the band. And I can see, you know, yeah, clearly you've got a following and this is why. And that's cool. But if you're getting to the point where, I don't know, your stuff either is kind of sounding the same or there's nothing new or it just sort of drags on and on. Like, as much as I like Dream Theater, and I was kind of an apologist for that, the Astonishing album, you know, and yet I can see how as much as it is a technical achievement, perhaps it's a fairly boring album to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll admit it, I wanted it to be better, but it kind of wasn't. Now, I don't think that means that they've stopped making good albums. I think they've got good albums in them. Distance Over Time,
yep,
going back to just good old jamming. And I'm all for it. I'm cool with that.
Right.
But that's, again, getting back to what I'm saying is, you know, the mark of these bands, these truly great bands, is that they, after 30, 40 years or whatever, they're still grabbing your attention. They're still right, interesting and cool to listen to, whether it's live or on album. And so, at 40 years, I think that's a good enough time. I think, like, Rush had the idea. They were right about it. They said, look, we've done this long. We're probably not going to knock any other great shit out. And we're just going to become kind of boring and kind of a joke. And we don't want to be that way.
But
let's,
you know,
just
what?
End now. We still got years left in us, but we don't have to do this.
But it was shut down by Neil.
Sure, sure. I get that. But I think they needed to shut it down about then anyway.
But do you think
it's been long enough?
Do you think Geddy and Alex were like, let's kind of put this on Neil? And they were done too? But they act like, you know what? I kind of want to keep going.
Like, we would have done it if it weren't for Neil.
Yeah, it's his fault.
I think they
kinda.
I think they would have been happy to keep it going. But I think, though, that bands that do that, I mean, there's a point where you're like, you guys need to stop, you know, cut it out. We've talked about this many times.
Right, right.
It's not a new topic. But I'm talking about the idea that if you can put a number on it, it seems like 40 kind of seems to be that number. Because like I said, Black Sabbath, around 40 it was, they stopped.
So, Motorhead, around 40. Look at Ozzy's career. He's retiring again.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at his solo career, you're looking at about 40 years, roughly.
Yeah.
Pretty close.
And I think so. That's why I think it's about time to say, Kiss, let's go ahead and cut this out.
They're probably over 40 years.
Right. Same with AC/DC and some of these other bands.
They started in 73, 74. Right. So 84, 94, 2004,
2014. Right. That's why 79. This year, 79 would be that 40-year mark. Years,
yeah.
So anyone who's had an album out before 79 is like, yeah, they're already past their prime, so to speak. That expiration date on the milk is starting.
So Kiss is shutting it down.
They're going to do that club show at Whiskey A Go-Go. That sounds kind of a cool way
I would probably do that. It was kind of interesting. I got in a text talk with Lee, and it was about, you know, he goes, I'm going to Kiss. I'm like, you are? And he's like, yeah, you know, I don't agree with what they're doing, but there is Gene and Paul. There is, you know, accusations of lip syncing that we've seen on YouTube. But it's the last time I could see him. It could be a fun show. So.
My head?
My thought is, well, fuck, I'll go if Ace or Peter's there. But you know what? I saw the reunion tours. I saw the first farewell tour. And, you know, do I need to see this?
Right.
Where they're really not at the top of the game?
That's the thing.
It's really time. They should have shut it down a couple years ago.
I think that's the problem with that. They're an example, I think Kiss is, of a band that's like, I think you went too long.
Yeah.
You went past your prime. You reached a little too far. And now you've kind of ruined it a little bit.
Right.
I mean, you're still legends. You're always going to be legends. You can't take that away. But I think you just, after a while, you sort of become a parody of yourself if you just keep doing this. And that's what you want to try to avoid. And that's what I'm saying. I think for the first time, I'm kind of thinking 40 may be that number. And I'm not saying as soon as you're exactly 40 and, you know, 0 seconds, boom, we stop it. You know, you build up to it. You work at it. And if it's a little over 40, that's fine. But generally around 40 seems to be the limit.
I'm going to see the Stones.
And they still have hung it up. 60s, right?
Should they have hung it up? Dude, I just saw... I have a concert on my DVR from them in Havana a couple years ago. Fucking Mick is still giving it.
Yeah?
Dude, it's like 70-something.
Damn.
It's fucking crazy.
I don't know how he can, man.
I know, but...
I'd be worried, a heart attack every time I'm walking on this stage.
I think if you're comparing hard rock or very technical type music, like a Rush, where it's very technical.
Right.
Kiss, not technical, but... I mean, they're doing a lot with the stage shows and shit like that.
Sure.
So just get up there and play and look cool.
Uh-huh.
So at like 50, 60 years of playing rock and roll, is it time? I told Wifey, I said, I want to go see the Stones. I've always wanted to see them. But this could probably be the last time they're going to do a big world tour.
Right.
The guys are in their 70s. Come on. And even if they toured past this, they can't be worth a shit. We'll be right back.
sack me on this? Am I losing my mind? I don't understand what this has to do with anything.
The right to rock.
This is Marius from Night Trains, and you're listening to the Jenkins and Ragman Show, Horns Out.
Metal legend, Mr. Marius. I'm going to butcher your last name, dude. I don't even want to do it. I would feel too embarrassed. I'll let you say your last name from Night Rage.
Marius Siliopoulos. I know my last name is a little bit difficult for, foreign people to pronounce, but yeah, it's kind of funny sometimes. But a lot of times, people writing wrong as well, but it doesn't matter, you know, it's all right.
Oh, you know what's funny? Believe it or not, my last name is Athens, but it's originally Athanasou, because my great-great-grandfather came over from Greece. He escaped during the Greek and Turkish War back in a long, long time ago.
Sounds Greek, actually. Yeah, your last name sounds a little bit Greek. Athanasoglu, Athanasiadis, Athanas. We have a lot of different... different last names like that, so it sounds a little bit Greek to me, you know. That's cool.
yeah So I'm like a 16th or 32nd Greek, so we're brothers, dude.
Yeah, we are, you know, from another family.
Yeah, exactly.
That's cool.
Well, hey man, you got a brand new record coming out, Wolf to Man, and before we jump into that, can you kind of tell us, you know, how this album differs from your last one, The Venomous?
Yeah, I mean, this one is more cohesive in a way, because this time we work our working relationship, our songwriting partnership will work even better. Now we have a great team, me, Magnus, and Ronnie Niemann, the singer, and everybody's contribute the same amount of time and energy into that. So you actually can hear that on the album. There is a lot of riffs coming from Magnus. Ronnie wrote all the lyrics and all the vocal melodies, and that makes it as a powerful trinity, if you want, and works really well for us. We have good chemistry and we're friends, you know, and we have fun, you know, creating new songs for Nitrates. And I feel now that this lineup we have right now, with the new guys Franco on the bass and Dine on drums as well, make it a really compact, a really, you know, powerful unit, I think.
Oh, I think so, and I want to say, I don't know why, I mean, because your music's usually pretty brutal, but this album seems more brutal, just really, a little bit heavier. It's kind of hard to describe, because you guys are a really heavy band, but this one, it seems like there's a little bit more rage in it for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, it's always uncompromising. We don't want to sell out. We don't want to be another band that we hate. We are fans of the music we are playing, and always we're driven by the metal perspective. Metal for us is the low, you know, if you want. I know it sounds a little bit cliche and cheesy to say something like that, but I mean, we're a metal band. We're proud of it, and we're always trying to write good songs that, you know, being on the metal perspective, being in a metal band, and we're not ashamed to call ourselves one, of course. And I think the new album shows that, like, we try to write good songs that sounds 100% metal, have good melodies, good hooks, people can sing along, some nice choruses here and there, stuff like that. I mean, we are very proud of the new album, and so far we've gotten really good feedback from the press.
Awesome, man. Well, let me ask you, the title, Man, and some of the songs lend to, I guess, the listener to believe that, you know, this could be kind of a record. Is there a concept or underlying theme on this record for you guys?
Yeah, this one is a concept, actually, a game, and it's the continuation from the last album, The Venomous, where on The Venomous, we, as humanity, we were walking towards our own extinction. This time on Wolf to Man, we're on the end of the road, and we are ready to jump on the chaos we have created as humanity, and we need to accept that as a fact, and, you know, unfortunately, there is no turning back, you know, and, I mean, Ronnie got inspired from this Latin proverb that goes homo homini lupus est, and that means man is wolf to man, and it's a reality that we're living if you see what kind of horrible things we're doing to each other and all that stuff, all the crazy stuff that is happening in the world right now, you know leading us to that statement, wolf to man.
Awesome. So it sounds like the writing process for you guys is pretty organic. It's like riffing and stuff like that. Does everybody live in the same area, or do y'all have to do some file sharing, or do y'all like book a studio and, you know, hammer things out there, or how within the band?
As far as composing, I live permanently in Thessaloniki, Greece, but I travel a lot in Uppsala, Sweden, where is Ronnie, Magnus, and Franco based. So me and Magnus, I travel a lot of times during the songwriting process, and me and Magnus, we met a lot of times writing all the songs. Some stuff we write on our own, then we meet together and arrange the whole thing, me, Magnus, and Ronnie. Ronnie comes in the picture later on and writing his own lyrics, his own vocal melodies. It's a team effort, and of course, you need to have this face-to-face approach when you are writing a song with your bandmates, you know, and that's why for me it's easy to travel to Sweden back and forth. It's not a big deal, and you know, we keep that as a thing, so we can always have the best, you know, the best material possible in the end.
Well, something I want to say about this record, and I did say it was really brutal, but you guys do bring the melody, and that's one thing I love about melodic death metal is the melodies that almost brings back, you know, kind of that 80s vibe of the melody of the 80s, but you just make it so freaking brutal. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, that's what I love about Night Range. And I don't know if you're of the same opinion, but I don't hear as much Melodeath had a big following, you know, in the early 2000s and stuff like that, but it's kind of died off. And I love that you guys are still flying that flag.
Yeah, I mean, for us, melodies is we are lovers of melody, of course, but of course we are lovers of big riffs and metal, you know, brutality. So we kind of combine both. We try to combine both and make them one thing that works together. And of course, our influences comes are very easy to listen. I mean, we are lovers of bands like Def Leppard and Ozzy Osbourne and Iron Maiden, that they have big, great hooks in their music. And we're also lovers of the death metal bands like, you know, Death and Morbid Angel and Sepultura and all these bands, you know, and we're always trying to make a nice mixture because I think it's very interesting because there's a lot of cool things you can do with combining both, you know, ingredients on your songwriting formula, I think.
Oh yeah, definitely, man. Well, to the new record, like I said, it's Wolf Demand on D-Spots Records. One of the first tracks that grabbed me is The Damned, and you know, you mentioned sing along. That's one that you can sing along with, man. It's brutal. You guys got a pretty cool video with that too. It's kind of different with the ballerina, and then you guys are doing kind of a performance, but separately. Kind of the camera's kind of going all over the place, but it's a cool video, man.
Let the killing
Oh, thanks, man. I'm glad you liked it. Yeah, it's a kind of a contrast on that video. On one hand, you have us with its kind of music, very brutal, very melodic, and then you have the delicacy of a ballet singer. And we wanted to show this, two sides of us. Like we can be nice and delicate, and we can be also brutal and aggressive at the same time. You know, so that video kind of shows that. But it was a good idea for us to do that because we went to this abandoned mine that nobody goes there, and we filmed the everything there,
Oh, that's awesome. Do you guys have much direction with the video, or is it, put forward with the management or the record company, or do you guys have a lot of creative control?
I think we have creative control on that because it's our ideas. It's our idea to do these kind of things. But of course, Magnus Ivald, the film producer, he helped us, realize that idea, that kind of concept we have. But it's mainly the idea is coming from us.
Oh, that's killer! That's killer, man. Well, another song I want to bring up, and this is probably my favorite at the moment, is "Desensitized," and it's to me. Has an old school In Flames type vibe to it, with I guess some of the softer guitars, and then it get heavy. But I mean, you guys kill that song, dude. That's the one I keep hitting the back button on. Can you tell us how that song came together?
This shit is getting old. I am a touch, will ever dare to go. What was driven by my lust? But every time I stop to think, it all turns to dust. When the time to unlock some questions, come on, get down with us.
Yeah, this song is a collaboration between me and Magnus. He put a lot of killer ideas, and that's why I said before, we have a great chemistry working together, and then Ronnie put his own ideas with the vocals and lyrics and all that stuff. Yeah, that song is a little bit more, let's say, radio-friendly. I don't like this term, but we're always trying to, go on that territory as well, because we want to show that we can do that as well. We can write more memorable hooks and stuff like that. So it's a good song, and I'm glad you liked it. And I hope that people can, grab it and understand what we're doing here.
That's kind of funny. You made me kind of smirk a little bit when you said that's kind of our hit. And you don't hear really heavy metal, death metal band saying, oh, that's our top 40 hit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, we're not a top 40 band anyways. We don't give a shit about that. But
well,
of course,
that be hilarious?
Yeah, we love melody, so we love good songs. And for us, the way we see it is just another good song for us. And I hope that people can see that as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. For sure. I just have this funny image in my mind. Okay, Night Rage, number one. Desensitized right below that's Katy Perry.
That would be really funny, man. But it's hard for this kind of music to go in this territory. I think, you know, the vocals, you know, the vocals are too brutal and people, they don't understand that. I even see people, when I, sometimes when I see people that they don't listen to metal, listen to our music, when the vocals comes up, I see their faces changing, you know, like, what is this? Like, they don't, it's kind of difficult. And I understand that we know where we are and what are we doing, but we love what we are doing. So we're not gonna stop and do pop vocals in the next album. You know, you're not gonna see that from us.
You got a solid point there, and you know, I like the brutal as well as like a really good clean vocal type singer. But you know, if I have like my 15-year-old daughter in the car, she's like, "God, Dad, that guy's a scream." I said, "Listen to the music. You can get something. There's melody in this music. Listen to that music." And I mean, that's sometimes the music is what makes the hairs on the end of my arms, you know, stand up to attention because of the melodies and the brutality and how you mix it, especially with what you guys that do in Night Rage. I love that. You know, I may not know what Ronnie sings some of the time, but you know, the music has got my head banging, and you know, it all blends well together for me.
Thanks a lot, man. Yeah, that's exactly the point. Like why we always trying to incorporate guitar melodies in the music, because we know if we don't have that sort of melody in there, it's going to sound a little bit stale and one-dimensional. So we're always trying to mix up good melodies because the vocals are brutal and the music is brutal. And we try to make it a little bit more musical, you know?
Oh, totally. I'm hammering on Desensitized. I just love the song. But, man, the solo in that song is really, really strong as well.
Thanks, man. You know, me and Magnus, we are. I found finally my metal brother. He's a metal brother, and he's a lover of good heavy metal and good hooks. And he's a great songwriter, great guy, great guitar player. So we're having really good fun, you know, playing together, being friends, and being in the band. You know, for me, it's like I feel blessed having Magnus in the band, to be honest.
That's awesome. It sounds like you got a really strong, it's the three of you, of course you got the newer guys, but a really strong alliance up with the vocals and both you and Magnus as a guitar player. So, you know, you have over the years, you've had a little bit of turnover in the band. Do you think this is one of the most solid lineups you've had so far?
Feels like that exactly for me. This lineup, I think, is the best we ever had, and I wish we can have that lineup from the first day when we started with Nitrates. But of course, it didn't happen like that. We had a lot of lineup changes for different various reasons, actually. But what we have right now, it's the best, I think, and I feel like this is my second family. I consider these guys my friends mostly, and then musicians. We're just a bunch of fans to playing the music we love to hear. You know, that's all we are.
Man, I love that. I love that. And I love musicians that are actual fans of the music. Some guys, I think they're just in it to make a buck, and they're not, you know, a lot of guys, of course, musicians, they got to have influences and stuff like that. But to hear some guys, oh, I don't listen to what's going on today. Come on. You know, I like guys that are really current with what's going on, and they're just fans. That's what we do with our website. We're fans that love heavy metal. And that's why we decided to do our podcast.
Exactly. I mean, apart from everything else, we are doing this because we definitely love it. And we are, like I said, fans of what we are doing. And we see the whole thing as fans. And we're metal people, you know, that happen to play guitar and all that stuff. We don't consider ourselves better than you or everybody else because of the fact we have a band and stuff like that. We are just regular people, man. You know?
Totally, man. Well, another song I want to bring up on the record, and I'm really digging on, is Disconnecting the Dots. Do you have a cool story on how that song came together? We'll be right back.
This one is like another, you know, let's say radio-friendly song, if you can call it like that. And it talks about the fact that nowadays we don't bother research facts. We read on the internet that if they're true or not. So we kind of believe on fake news. That's the kind of story. And that song is a bit more heavy. I think it's more for, you know, people to remember and people to headbang along. It's a headbanger, you know. That's what we wanted to create, a nice melody that people can remember. And I can see actually ourselves playing that one live for sure.
Well, as far as live shows, have you guys started getting anything booked? And, you know, look at this. You're on your eighth record. Congratulations. You know, set list-wise, how do you look at it? When you go out on tour, do you just want to concentrate mainly on the new record, maybe put about four or five songs in the set? Or do you kind of try to vary it out over, you know, now eight albums?
Yeah, I mean, definitely on these new shows, we're going to put four new songs in there. We were already rehearsing these ones. And, of course, we want to, you know, show the new songs to the fans. But because of the fact we have, like you said, we have eight albums, there's a lot of older songs that fans want to hear. So it's going to be a mix of all the new stuff. About live shows, because you asked me before, we have already confirmed a show in Athens, our first headline show for the Wolf to Man album. It's going to be on the 12th April in Athens, the Temple Club. And then we have a tour with Cryptopsy, opening for Cryptopsy in May, and another headline festival in the 13th of August in UK, War Horns Festival. And we're looking for more shows as we speak now. And just, you know, check our Facebook or official site for more news about that.
Oh, that's awesome, man. As far as, I mean, do you think you guys would make it to the U.S. at any point? Or do you have any plans to do that at this point?
Actually, we do. We have our booker, Tone Deaf Touring, is looking for a North American tour for us in July, August. They're looking right now as we speak, and also South American dates. So hopefully, man, we're going to be there, because I know it's one of our favorite places to be. America is an awesome place. Canada is awesome, too, you know, for us. We have a good fan base. There are people waiting for us. So it's going to, you know, hope we are coming this summer for you guys, playing the new songs.
Oh, that would be awesome, man. Because, yeah, I guess my next question is that, if you didn't have plans, you know, have you guys ever thought about maybe doing a live DVD at any point?
We haven't thought about that, but I think we need more time with that, you know, for us to play more, a little bit more, you know, solidify this lineup, let's say, because we have two new guys in the band. And then, yeah, why not? If a chance comes, we will gonna think about it. But it's not any. We don't have any plans about that right now. But of course, it's gonna be interesting to see that to make that one day. Of course.
Oh, that would be awesome, man. Well, I got a question as far as the metal scene in Greece. I know just from, I guess, your career, you guys started in Greece and then you relocated to Sweden for a while and then went back to Greece. Was it, you know, going back to Greece for family reasons, or just was the scene getting a little bit better in Greece at the time? And you said, okay, I want to go home, or, you know, kind of what was the thought process?
I think it was pretty much, for me personally, I wanted to go back to my roots, to, you know, be with my family and my, you know, I miss my neighborhood and all my friends there. And I can work with Nitrates in any place in the world right now because of the internet. You know, it's so easier right now, because we have also on a daily basis we have contact with all the band members. Me and Dino, the drummer, were together in Thessaloniki, the other guys in Uppsala, so there is no stopping us. Actually, the working relationship is better like that, you know. So for me, I missed my country because I used to live in Sweden for 13 and a half years, trying to, you know, work with the band, building the band, you know, making all these albums. So it was time. I felt like, yeah, maybe now I can go back and, you know, continue what I love to do anyways.
That's awesome, man. Well, Marios, before we let you go today, is there anything you'd like to tell the fans out there?
I just want to say a big thanks to you for the interview. I really appreciate that. I'm really happy you like the album. You seem to be excited listening to it. I want to send my warmest greetings to all our American fans. Can't wait to see you all there, guys. Buy the new album. It's gonna be on 29th of March. It's gonna be released 29th of March. Buy the new album. Support Nitrates. And always remember that man is wolf to man. We love you all, guys. Maximum respect.
Well, Marios, we want to thank you for coming on the Genghis and Ragman show here on the Right to Rock. And we want to all the fans, like Mario said, grab Nitrates' brand new record, Wolf to Man, out on D-Spots on March 29th. It's going to rock your balls off, guys. Marios, awesome talking to you, man.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thanks, brother. Hope to see you on our forthcoming shows, man. Thanks.
Yeah, man. Well, if you drink beer, we'll have a beer together, brother.
Yeah, we will. We will, for sure, man. We will. Can't wait, bro. Thanks. Thanks a lot, Mark, Alan.
Thanks, buddy.
Also, we're going to give high props to our boys in Sonic X. Adam and Joseph have lent us 13 to finish the show. So what you're listening to right now is 13 by Sonic X. So check them out. And keep checking us out. And